Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's trigger warnings are explicit sexual content.
Review, read all about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
All right. We got a review on Apple Podcasts. This one comes from Fat Rhonda. With the PH, baby. Let's go. Fat Rhonda, thank you. I love that name, by the way.
And it says, always laughing. Just started y'all's podcast and went on a long walk the other day listening to One Summer, and I am sure I looked crazy to my neighbors. I was walking and laughing to myself majority of my walk. I always enjoy a good sense of humor and will be listening to more of your shows.
Fat Rhonda, thank you.
Thank you, PH Fat Rhonda.
Thank you.
You're so sweet.
That's a reference to that 70s show.
Is it?
Yeah, Fat Rhonda.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Fez's girlfriend, Fat Rhonda.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And this week, we're telling Riley all about Pounded by Produce by GM Fairy. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I honestly think I gave it a 3.5. It wasn't that bad.
Hell yeah.
I gave it a 4. I really actually very much enjoyed it. It was surprising. Like, you go into it thinking it's going to be some dumb sentient book. No, there are feelings. There's some character development.
Yeah.
There's some hot men.
Oh, hell yeah. How many times can I say hell yeah? Hell yeah!
Hell yeah.
I give it a 4 too. If you, there's one thing about me, I love entertainment, and I was entertained, baby. I can't tell you how many times I was reading it and be like, you know what? Hell yeah. It's a fucking hell yeah episode. Hell yeah.
Emily has stolen her neighbor's Sunday paper to look for jobs. She's freshly single, wanting to build a new life, but none of the postings are really given a vibe until she sees it. The one. It's titled Live-In Parish Cook, Remote Rural Location. She uses the landline to call the number, even though she doesn't even know what a parish is.
Yeah, what's a parish?
It's like a
perishables.
Yeah. A religious community. Oh. Perishables.
I was like, wait, two different things.
Don't listen to Charlotte. She's got dad jokes.
Yeah. Knee slapper. The job seems too good to be true, and I have half a mind to ask whoever picks up the phone whose dick I have to suck to get the position, because I most definitely will suck a few penises to get out of this dump and able to make myself a goddamn omelet. A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do.
I fucking love an omelet.
Me too.
I thought you were about to say, I fucking love sucking a penis. I was like, no. Whoa, liar.
No, I love an omelet.
I love an omelet. Oh my god, I love it. With some, like, Monterey Jack cheese.
Sourdough toast.
Ah, fuck it up.
With, like, half an avocado on
top. Oh. With some hot sauce.
Ooh. A little dollop of sour cream.
Oh,
maybe.
Some chives.
Ah,
oh. I'm hungry.
And then someone answers the phone. We switch to Robert's POV. He's picking vegetables in the parish garden since their chef quit 2 weeks ago. But they have a new cook starting tomorrow. His dramatic partner priest comes out and they gab for a moment before lying in the grass. Are you guys saying his name is Laurent?
Yeah. And if you remember in VeggieTales, it's Bob and Larry.
I never watched VeggieTales.
I was like a casual viewer as a child. Springfield, so I know Bob and Larry. And then there were a few VeggieTales references that I was like, I think that's a VeggieTales reference, but I wasn't like, you know.
Charlotte as a child. Yeah, I dabble in VeggieTales every now and then.
I did. I dabbled.
I think I watched like maybe an episode or two when I was like in the dentist's office or something.
It's good, clean fun.
Yeah.
Never watched it a day in my life.
Me neither, I don't think.
You sinner.
Since I was born.
Yeah.
Laurent sensually rubs his hand over Robert's and he feels a zip of electricity, but equates it to being a priest and lack of physical touch over the years. But he is only human and the dark desire likes to test him. Laurent and him have been friends and roommates since seminary school, and he lets his mind wander to those nights back in seminary school.
My mind raced with images of mouths on skin, the sound of thrusting in and out of dark and delicious places. My hand found its way around my throbbing cock, trying my best to be quiet as I rubbed myself desperately. Laurent was always a light sleeper, and when I heard rustling coming from his bed, only a few feet away from mine, I couldn't help but divert my gaze to him, staring back at me, eyes dark and intent, as his hands hid under his blankets, moving up and down. His lips parted, and soft moans escaped him. Oh, so they would just, like, whack it in their own beds and look at each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's not gay.
No.
No.
You're not even touching a penis.
Only your own.
You're touching your own penis. You're touching a penis. Not someone's, but your own. Not gay.
Not gay.
No.
It only happened a handful of times, and they've never talked about it, but he just keeps those thoughts at bay. They get up to go inside, but not before wishing the produce would come to life and cook itself, praying their new cook is decent. Emily walks 3 miles down a dirt road from where the bus dropped her off. She starts to second guess the idea of coming out here, but then she approaches the stone buildings, and a friendly old woman greets her. The woman's name is Gail, and she shows her around, letting Emily know produce and seasoning can be found in the garden, but other items need to be picked up in town once a week. She's shown her bare but perfect to her room right off the kitchen, and then she's taken to meet the priests. And these are hot priests.
Huh. A large oak desk rests parallel to me. On the other side sits a well-built man with curly brown hair, dark and haunting brown eyes, a strong jaw, and wearing a black shirt with the quintessential priestly collar. Sitting on the edge of the desk is another man with dirty blonde, shaggy hair tucked behind his ears. He's tall and not as stocky as the other man, but fit. His green and yellow speckled eyes shine through the room like a mythical beacon. Both of them look to be in their late 20s or early 30s. Wow. Sassy.
Hot priests.
Later on, she's in the church speaking aloud to God, hoping for this to be a clean slate. And then she admits that she doesn't want to be a nun, though. And Father Robert and Father Laurent say they understand as they step forward. She goes to get up, but they tell her not to and that she's perfect on her knees.
Oh. Father Laurent walks around and down the pew until he reaches me, placing a large hand on my shoulder. Don't look so nervous. You ask God to fill you up, and here we are, ready to use you for his will. He presses against me, his large erection hitting my arm through his black slacks. I'm sorry.
What?
What?
Father Robert undoes his belt and tells her to grab Father Laurent's dick, and she does as she's told.
In the Lord's name.
She says, you know what? Hell yeah.
She said she'd suck a few penises. Father Robert applies pressure to my mouth, forcing my jaw to snap open. Are you ready to take what the Lord orders of you? He's hard, so hard, unlike any cock I've felt before. He's also smooth, almost like a, I don't know, a cucumber. I break free from Father Robert's grasp and turn my head. Sure enough, a firm and green cucumber juts from where Father Laurent's cock should be. My mouth waters. Instead of being disturbed, I'm completely aroused. Why? That would scare me. Also, what?
He just whips out a cucumber.
Is that a cucumber? Are you happy to see me?
I love a cucumber.
You love cucumber?
I love a cucumber. I could just sit there and just take a bite out of a cucumber.
I love cucumber with soy sauce.
So Father Laurent is the man for you.
I think so. I'm less of like a Robert and more of a Laurent.
Okay.
Emily wakes up gasping for breath. She rationalizes that her brain just wants her to have a cucumber. So she gets out of bed and goes to the kitchen.
It was just a dream.
It was just a dream.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, wait.
That would be crazy.
It can't be.
Father Laurent is in the kitchen and scares the living shit out of her because she didn't know he was in there, and he's eating a bowl of cereal. She apologizes and turns to go back to bed, but he insists that she join him so he can get to know her more. After some Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs, and I put in parentheses, I would fuck that shit up.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's so good.
It's like the best cereal.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, that Apple Jacks?
I like a Honey Nut Cheerio.
Oh, yeah.
I like Shredded Wheats.
Oh, also, hot take, Raisin Bran.
I love Raisin Bran.
Have you tried the crunchy Raisin Bran?
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Also, Honey Bunches of Oats, another really fucking good one. I love a crunchy cereal.
I think I just like all cereal, actually.
Cereal's just good.
They talk of religion. They head their separate ways to go to bed, but she does not sleep. The next morning, Laurent is listening to Robert's sermon, and all he can think about is how much he loves and wants Robert. He always has. He thinks about how he might need to jerk off again to the thought of him, even though he already did it last night to the thought of Emily.
Instead of imagining myself taking his dick in my mouth, his warm cum running down my throat, I imagined myself with my face between her breasts, suffocating me as I pumped in and out of her sweet and tight cunt. Wow.
Robert finishes the sermon and they go to leave when Emily approaches them, letting them know lunch is ready, but she didn't have any sort of schedule for them, so she wasn't sure what time they even do lunch, and they let her know that they'll be there soon. They close up the sanctuary when a frail old woman in a black cloak with a crooked nose and I don't know why she included the boils. It must be a VeggieTale thing, right?
I don't know. I was just picturing the evil witch from Snow White.
Yeah, me too.
Same.
Tells them to wait. They apologize and try to introduce themselves, but she says that she already knows them better than they know themselves. The two men stare at each other and she goes to leave, but not before she warns them about the harvest moon and for them to define the true fruits of their soul. And then she's gone.
Spooky.
Yeah. Say, what the fuck does that mean?
She's just gone. They can't even ask. Robert can't sleep, and it's all because of the new cook. One, because of how attractive she is, and two, because of how Laurent acts with her. He grabs a bottle of communion wine from the kitchen and goes to the garden. Of course, Laurent is there, saying that Robert was loud enough to wake everybody at the parish. Robert tells Laurent he's more distracted now with Emily there, and Laurent tries to tell him it's not a big deal.
It's not her tits. It's her lips that drive me crazy.
He's a lips guy.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of weird, but whatever.
Her mouth lips or her pussy lips?
He hasn't seen her pussy lips.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe he can smell them.
Maybe.
Robert grabs a tomato off the vine and eats it, and they both fall asleep in the garden. Laurent wakes frozen. He remembers sharing wine last night, but his body legitimately will not move. The ground trembles, and a giant hand is above him and reaches down to grab him.
God, is that you?
It's not.
For a minute, he thinks he hit rigor mortis. He's like, I must be dead. And he's like, my body feels hard. I can't move. But then he notices that the giant hand is connected to Emily.
What? I almost don't care to dissect what the fuck is going on. Too mesmerized by her intoxicating features until I catch my reflection in her eyes. She's not holding a tiny version of me. She's holding a cucumber. A fucking cucumber. I'm a cucumber.
Then he sees her other hand and has a tomato, and he knows that's Robert.
He said, I know. I know that's you.
Yeah. And he's not, he doesn't have like a face or anything. He's literally just a tomato.
He said, Robert.
He can't talk. He doesn't have a mouth. He's just a cucumber.
Now he's starting to question if they got drugged, if this is just one big dream. She brings them to the kitchen with other vegetables, and he's hoping she's about to eat him because he hasn't had a woman's mouth on him in a long time.
He says, kill me, please.
He watches her cut up other produce except for him, and I put, and tomato Robert. And then she whispers that she just needs a release. She grabs tomato Robert and cucumber Laurent and goes to her room, locking the door.
What the fuck are you going to do with a tomato?
You'll see. She's innovative.
She saves these two specific vegetables because she feels something when she touches them. She's not sure why. She gets undressed, starts touching herself, thinking about the hot priest, but she needs more.
I would be like, I need to call an ambulance. Something's wrong. Something's not right. I'll be ashamed of myself later. Now I need that tomato and cucumber. My desire taking over any rational thought, I reach for them, taking the cucumber in one hand and the tomato in the other.
What are you doing with them, Miss Girl?
Oh, Charlotte's about to tell you.
So Robert is freaking out because he's a tomato, and now Emily is rubbing his tomato body all over her pussy.
What? A tomato?
He looks over to see her grabbing a cucumber, and he doesn't know why, but he's certain that that is Laurent. He knows.
He says, yeah.
She presses tomato Robert. I put tomato Robert, too. She presses tomato Robert into her clit, and he's like, there's no shame here, because this clearly isn't real, which is sound logic.
I nearly melt out of my skin once I see Laurent inserted into Emily. Her hand wraps around him, pushing him deep within her, only a small nub of his green bottom sticking out. It excites me that she can take him so readily. She's such a good girl, taking almost every inch of him. God, do I want to be inside of her. Laurent's a lucky bastard, but I can't complain. I have the best seat in the house, riding Emily's cunt, watching Laurent drown in Emily's pussy.
Oh my God, she really stuck that cucumber up there.
Yeah,
she did.
She comes as she rubs the tomato on herself and fucks herself with the cucumber. And then she screams, oh, father, as she comes.
Oh.
And then Robert is like, whoa, this is so hot.
It all becomes too much. There's a pop and wetness around me. I burst. A small hole opens at the bottom of me, and my literal seed drips onto Emily's skin. This can't be good. I just exploded. But it almost feels like release, like a strange version of tomato cum. Warmth envelops me until my vision blurs and my consciousness melts away. Maybe I am dying, but God, what a fucking way to go.
Ew, his little tomato skin just bursts?
Yeah. Emily cleans herself up and is like, whoa, I mutilated this produce. There's gunk all over me. And she takes a nap. Little does she know, it's cum.
It's cum.
As she goes to get up, she sees Laurent and Robert asleep in bed with her. She screams and she notices the wet spot on Robert's pants. Which is so funny because they like reappear with their clothes back on.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a little weird. So they're now in their full human size.
Yeah. Yes.
Fun.
Laurent is like, I had a dream I was a cucumber and Robert was a tomato. And Robert is like, yeah, what was in that wine? But then he's like, wait, I had the same dream as you. And Emily's like, well, I brought a tomato and a cucumber into my room earlier. But when she goes to find them, they're gone. No produce.
No produce.
Then Father Robert is like, what did you do with them when you brought them in here?
Where did you put the tomato, Emily? His hand is on my thigh, its weight removing all the air from my lungs. Am I getting warmer? His voice is so low, so heated. Laurent is at his side, placing another hand on my thigh. I don't know why I did that. I don't usually do that sort of thing with objects. I'm struggling to breathe, my eyes locked on Father Roberts, too scared to watch where he's moving. He leans forward, his lips at my ear, and I feel the ghosts of his fingers between my thighs under the blankets. I don't know why, but I think I was that tomato, Emily. You rubbed me on top of your swollen clit.
I don't know why, but I think I was that tomato.
They all belong in a psych ward.
Yeah.
So Emily's freaking out now, not knowing what the fuck is going on.
If you don't normally shove cucumbers up your cunt or rub tomatoes over your tits, why the fuck did you do it today? I don't. He grips my jaw harder. You know, say it. I felt something. There was something different about that cucumber and tomato. Something I can't explain.
It's magical.
Magic.
She tries to apologize for fucking them because they're both priests and it's against the rules. But Laurent is like, we weren't priests when you were fucking us. We were a tomato and a cucumber. And maybe God wanted this to happen.
They said loophole.
Yeah. They said, now let's fuck.
No, they can't. They're not a tomato and a cucumber.
Oh my gosh.
But Robert is like, yeah, well, we aren't produce anymore and we have to go. They storm out to go pray and ask for guidance. And throughout the story, Robert is just kind of a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
He won't let go. Laurent is more like free. He's carefree.
Come on, Laurent. Just embrace it.
Robert.
No, Robert. Oh, Robert. Yeah, Robert.
Robert spends the whole morning keeping himself busy and away from Emily and Laurent. But when it's time for confessional duty, Laurent steps in and says he needs to confess his sins. So they're doing a little priest to priest.
Okay.
He wants to talk about what happened and tells Robert he's starting to question his faith.
Doesn't all of this make you question things? You're a priest, Laurent. You've devoted your whole life to God. Is this all it takes to make you start questioning him? All it takes. Robert, we turned into fucking produce and we're fucked by our cook. And some supernatural sexual charge washed over us. This isn't a minor accident. I scoff, shaking my head. Who said there was a sexual charge? Speak for yourself. His voice gets closer, as if he's pressing himself against the divider. Who are you lying to right now? Yourself? Because it sure as fuck isn't me. I saw the way you looked at her. You touched her, inches away from her cunt. Is that how you normally act around women? No, I yell, getting closer to the divider, my blood pressure rising in panic. Okay, okay, maybe there's something else to all of this besides being produce, but this doesn't disprove God for me. It must mean something. God works in mysterious ways. Sir, you were literally a cucumber and a tomato. Question things.
Laurent says that he hasn't been inside a woman in a long time, and even though he was a cucumber, last night was amazing for him, and he really, really wants to turn into one again. Then Robert is like, what was it like being inside of her? And he tells him it was amazing. Like, his whole body was a cock. It's been so long for him. He hasn't had sex since the day he started seminary school, and it's been even longer for Robert. Laurent then confesses that he jerks off, like, a lot, which is technically against the rules.
Yeah.
But Robert says he does too. Laurent is surprised because he figured Robert stopped when they got their own rooms. Then Laurent says he has another confession. He's touching himself right now.
Naughty.
You dirty dog.
Robert is now touching himself too, imagining Laurent sucking his dick. And Laurent tells him he's missed hearing his moans and that he listens for them every night while he jerks it. They both come at the same time, and Robert hurries out of the confession booth, absolutely mortified.
Oh, he's definitely having some, like, inner war with himself.
He is.
Yeah.
That evening, Emily is picking more produce out at the fields, trying to make sense of everything that's going on.
She should not be allowed next to the produce.
No.
No.
I'm not eating any food that she makes.
No.
No.
I'd be crazy to believe them, but I guess I am crazy, because even if they didn't tell me they were the cucumber and tomato I got off with, I'd know something wasn't normal about that produce. I've done some weird shit throughout my life, but never have I stuck a cucumber up my vagina or rubbed a tomato over my clit. I'd never do something like that unless supernatural forces were at play. Besides, why would they lie to me?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, why would they lie about that?
She was there. They're not lying.
Yeah.
She knows they both want to fuck her, but she wants to know how and why this is all happening. And is she going to turn into produce next? Which is a valid concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She heads to the kitchen to start dinner and tells herself they need to talk about what happened. So when she puts dinner on the table and calls them to the meal, she lets them know they have to discuss this. Laurent tells her about the crazy old lady who was rambling at Robert's sermon the other day and thinks maybe she has something to do with it. She asks if they've transformed again since the incident, and they both say no, but then the priest frees and all of a sudden there's a fucking tomato and a cucumber sitting in their seats.
Oh my God.
And not only that, Emily is immediately hella soaked.
She says, oh my God, produce. I run over and grab them in both hands, looking around to see if anything in the room changed. Maybe a witch hides in the corner, but it's just me, alone with two of the sexiest vegetables in the world.
But she just brings them to a room and doesn't fuck them this time. Laurent wakes up as a person the next morning, sore and bummed that she didn't decide to have fun with them again. When Robert wakes up shortly after them, the three of them try to figure out how and why this keeps happening. But Robert is like, okay, I do not know, but I do know that when I'm a tomato, I'm not a priest, and tomatoes can't sin. So, Emily, if you want to use our vegetable bodies however you need, we are totally down.
Oh my God.
But then she asks what happens if they never turn into vegetables. Again.
I turned my attention to Robert, leaning forward, his arms holding himself up, inches away from Emily. I know she's asking him. He's the holder of all our fates. He's the boss, the owner of morality. If it was up to me, I'd say fuck it. Pin her to the bed and fuck her mouth while Robert took care of her cunt. And while I was at it, I'd finally grab Robert's cock, stroking it until he cried tears of joy. But it's not up to me. It never is. Not with Robert, at least. Take control, Laurent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert needs to let go a little bit.
Yeah, Robert.
Robert says, then nothing happens, and Emily says okay. They stand up to leave, but oops, they're vegetables again.
Oh no, fuck them.
And Emily picks them up off the floor.
Her breath heavies and her eyelids droop just from the sight of us in her hands. Oh my god, she moans. Why does just looking at you two make me so fucking horny?
God.
She immediately takes her clothes off and starts to stroke Cucumber Laurent, and he feels like he's shaking. And then Emily's like, wait, I felt that. He concentrates as hard as he can, and yeah, he's vibrating.
Oh, okay.
Then Robert starts vibrating as well. Emily warns them that if they're doing this, it's not gonna last long, and starts to drag them all over her body.
She keeps Robert at her nipples as she lowers me, hovering me over her clit. Her juices seep through my hardened skin. She's so wet, so sweet. I slide through her perfect cunt as easily as a fish swims through water. I push myself closer to her entrance, my home, the place where my body belongs. She doesn't fight my slight movements, allowing me to insert my tip. I want to do more, to pound into her until her walls clench around me. Maybe next time. Maybe I'll become more powerful every time we perform this sacred act. But right now, all I can do is vibrate as she slowly inserts me deeper and deeper. She's so tight. Every inch of my skin tingles, making my vibrations increase. She cries out as the molten lava doubles throughout me. She brings Robert closer to me, and for a moment, our skin bumps against each other. I know what he feels. If it's anything like the elation rolling through me, it's too much, and now our skin touches. I might pass out. I don't know if I can take it anymore. Emily brings Robert away, just above me, to her engorged clit. She's so close. I can feel it. I want to last longer, but it's already too much. Jesus Christ, she cries as she increases her thrust on me, her fingernails piercing me slightly. The arousal builds up to a dangerous level. I'm going to explode like last time, leaking my cucumbery seed into Emily's cunt. Cucumbery seed!
He does just that and busts inside of her, and then he thinks to himself that he's actually happier being a cucumber than a priest.
Okay. Maybe don't be a priest then.
Yeah, Robert busts too, and then they all fall asleep, waking up human again. Laurent has to go give a sermon, and he's understandably distracted, as is Robert, who is watching him from the crowd. After it's all over, they're approached by Bishop Archibald, who's their boss, and the bishop says he needs to see them both in the office immediately, and he suggests to them that they take some time off. They discuss it amongst themselves when the bishop leaves, and Laurent is like, maybe I want more to life than this. This pisses Robert off, who is like, hey, you can't say that.
You can't say that.
You don't say that.
You can't say that. Then he says, no more fucking as vegetables. Laurent tries to tell him no, he can't mean that, but Robert says he's already tempted enough with Laurent. He can't keep doing this. Then Laurent leans in and crashes a kiss to his priest bestie.
His priest bestie.
They make out for a second before Robert runs out of the room. That night, Emily receives a note that says, no more vegetable fun, and she's fucking pissed. She heads out to forage and runs into Laurent, who has no idea about the note and is equally bummed. They agree that Robert is a killjoy, and Emily is starting to realize that maybe Robert and Laurent are secretly in love. She asks what they should do since Robert isn't around, and he slams a kiss down on her. He fondles her breasts and then takes off her pants, and she's so into this.
Oh.
And they're both people.
He lowers his head between my legs, breathing over my panties. I shudder. You're soaking through these, Emily. He pulls my underwear to the side, running his finger gently along my seam. God, you're so wet. I was worried you only wanted me as a cucumber. I can't form words. He's so gentle, and every small movement makes me want to melt out of my skin. He lowers his lips, stroking me softly with his tongue. He inhales sharply, pulling away and turning his head. Fuck, you taste so good. The sweetest fruit.
Fruit?
Yeah. Well, technically, tomato's a fruit, too, so.
Oh, shit, that's right.
He eats her out, and she begs for more, and looks down to see his huge dick is the actual size of a cucumber.
Oh, of course. Are Robert's balls the size of tomatoes?
I don't know. It doesn't go into
question.
That.
That's a good question.
GM, let us know.
Let us know, girl.
She comes, and then he lines himself up, apologizing if he doesn't last long. And she's like, no, it's fine. That's hella hot.
She's like, come in 60 seconds. He reaches down, positioning himself at my entrance before pushing his tip in. Fuck, he yells. I'm so wet that I make my way for him, but I can't deny the stretching due to his size. I don't think I'd be able to take him so easily if it wasn't for my practice with him in his cucumber form. He slowly pushes himself in deeper and deeper. I cry out, my nails digging into his skin. He's so muscular that his abs rub against my sensitive clit. I'm so close, he says, his voice cracking. Fill me, father.
Wow.
They come together and she has immediate guilt about fucking a priest who is not a vegetable. Meanwhile, Robert has locked himself in his office for the past 2 days. He looks out the window to see Emily climbing up a tree and he runs out to help her. As he's helping her down, she falls on top of him and he really wants to kiss her, but he resists. And he asks if anything happened between her and Laurent, and she's like, maybe. Does that make you mad that I fucked around with the love of your life? And he's like, no, we're priests.
He said, stop it, I'm not gay. She clenches her fist. Robert, you were a tomato I rubbed myself off with. Be so for real right now. She turns away from me, her arms over her chest. I rest my hand on her shoulder. I promise nothing between us three will ever happen again, not even as vegetables. Be so for real right now.
Then she's like, you don't control me. And he starts kissing her. He bites her lip hard enough to draw blood and says, no more. And then walks away.
No more.
That drama. So Emily's hella stressed and doesn't know what to do. She's thinking maybe her and Laurent can run away to the countryside together. But something is nagging at the back of her mind that she doesn't just want Laurent. She wants them both and not just as vegetables.
Why? Robert kind of sucks right now.
I know.
Yeah.
She knows since she came in the picture, she stirred everything up. But they're big priests. They can make their own choices. And they were just as willing participants when everything went down. Her mind is racing, so she decides to sneak into the chapel to speak to the big man upstairs.
I eye the pews, and my dream from many nights before comes to mind. Father Robert standing before me, about to whip his dick from his pants. Father Laurent at my side, rubbing his cucumber cock against my skin. I take a shaky breath. Yeah, I'm gonna skip the pews.
She decides to go to the confessional booth instead, and she's never been in one before. She does the, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And she gets hella soaked thinking that Laurent or Robbie could be on the other side.
My mind plays images of their low voices directing me how to atone for my sins, to get on my knees for them. Fuck, Daddy God would not like where my mind is right now. Oh my God, Daddy God.
She decides to let her inner thoughts go on about how she's got a bad for some priests, turn veggies, turn priests, and this rant is probably pointless because she's talking to no one right now. She just needs someone to tell her what to do. Just as she was about to leave, she hears her prayers being answered. Someone says, on your knees. They tell her not to speak. She just wants directions, so she's gonna get it. And then the door swings open.
It's dark, so it takes my eyes a second to adjust. He stands before me, wears a black shirt and slacks, his white collar contracting the darkness around him. He stares down at me, his curly locks dangling above his full eyebrows. Here's what's going to happen. His hand moves to his belt buckle. You're going to stay right there, and I'm going to fill you, just as you've been begging me to do with your eyes all these days. Who is this?
Which one? She nods enthusiastically on her knees and she says, yes, Daddy. I mean, Father. He fucks her mouth and she said, and I quote, my hands are currently inside my sleep shorts and strumming my slick clit as if it's a guitar.
get it.
And to answer your earlier question, it's Robert. She's enforcing the Gluck Gluck 3000 on Robert. She comes, he comes, then his typical MO. He looks mortified and runs away.
Pussy.
It's the next day and she's determined not to have things awkward between these men. She decides to make them veggie and beef stew, knowing it would entice them to come out and dine with her. Laurent is game immediately. He sits down and says it smells delicious. Do you think Daddy will join us? And guess what? Daddy does.
Oh my goodness.
Robert is very closed off. Laurent decides to break the ice by asking him if Emily told him that they fucked. Robbie hits him with the Uno reverse and was like, did she tell you that we fucked? Laurent is like, what? Emily's quick to clear the air, stating that technically he only fucked her mouth.
Yeah.
Laurent comes up with the idea that they'll continue as veggies and then they both can date Emily as humans, but Robbie puts a full stop to that because his life is devoted to God and that is inappropriate.
Oh my God, Robert. And what's our relationship then? Was it inappropriate last night when your cum was sliding down my throat?
Period.
Get him.
Laurent notices Emily's hurt by Robbie's shutdown and tells him that he doesn't have to be a priest anymore and he could just be with her. And Robert's not budging though. He says, fine, then leave. But Laurent decides to egg him on and starts teasing Emily right there at the table.
He pulls my chair back so Robert can see me better. He yanks my skirt up and my underwear down, revealing me to Robert. My eyelids are heavy, wanting to tune out everything else in the world and focus on the sweet bliss from Laurent's fingertips as he languidly strokes me from my clit to my core, but I can't stop staring at Robert.
Girl, why do you like Robert so much?
I know, I'd be like, bye, Robert.
Get out, Robert.
He's a tomato. Anyways, you can have way more fun with a cucumber.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
She comes and it makes Robert lose his restraint, finally taking his dick out and participating in the fun.
Let's put on a good show for him. I want him to know how well you fit around our cock. It's like you were made for two. How does that sound? I nod. Fuck me, father.
And sinner. He does. Just as all three were about to come, she hears a scream, but it's none of them. There stands Gale in the doorway, stunned. And Gale's like the old little lady that helps her in the kitchen.
Gale. She's just clutching her little pearls.
Yes, she is.
Oh my goodness.
They have a trial with the board in a month, probably to be excommunicated, but they for sure are no longer priests. Robbie is taking this, of course, pretty hard. He called the archbishop himself, of course, after Gale walked in on them, but now he's decided to become a monk.
A monk?
He says, priesthood has not worked for me. I will become a monk. That will work.
Level up. Isn't that a completely different religion?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
He feels like he has no other choice. He feels so strongly for both of them and doesn't want to hurt either one. Based off of his life before, like before coming a priest, he would use people sexually and kind of manipulate them, and he doesn't want that to happen to either one of them. So it's quite simple. Monkhood, here he comes. Because he, in his head, he's like, I can't like both of them. That's impossible. There's no way. I'm going to hurt one of them. I'm going to manipulate one of them. Not working.
Robert, you need therapy.
But Laurent is like, bro, it is that simple. You can have both of us. We're not jealous of each other. We both want it. And then he gives him a smooch. And that turns into a heated makeout sesh, which turns into a one-sided handy. That turns into a two-sided handy. So now they're just both...
The natural progression of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want you to come all over me. I whisper into his ear. I want to mix our seed together until we're one. It's a risk, but he seems to like my words. He's breathing heavily. You look so perfect with my dick in your hand. I bet you'd look even better with it in your mouth or your ass.
Oh, risque.
Oh, they're moving. They're moving.
They both come together in a beautiful sea of semen.
Aww. Beautiful words, Jenna.
Thank you. I put LOL next to it. Robert looks scared and starts to run away. Laurent tells him, no, Pookie, we are not doing this time. I love you. Human, priest, tomato, everything. But Robert just shuts him down and says, you're going to move past this. It's for the best. And leaves dramatically.
Oh, fuck off, Robert.
Emily's sitting in the woods thinking about her life and the possibility that maybe she should become a nun now. When the sketchy-ass crone lady crouches down next to her and she's like, hey.
Ew. Hey, I'd say, yes. Ah!
Emily's like, what the fuck are you doing? Who are you? She's like, don't worry about that. The cosmos sent me. I'm kind of like a witch. I don't even know. Listen, basically the fates want you guys all to be together. And she's like, what? And she gives her a message. And she tells her, all that is hidden will be brought to light. They need a transformation. It's up to them to define the true fruits of their souls. And she's like, what the fuck does that mean? Basically, sex is part of their desires, but also another part is to be part of a union, body and soul. And Emily's still hella confused. And the witchy Cosmo lady sighs and is like, listen, whenever the three of them are together, at least one of them admits their desires for themselves and the other denies their true feelings. That's when they turn into veggies. So every time that they basically fight it is when they turn into veggies.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. In order for them to live in their true forms, all three of them just need to admit that they love each other.
Be a throuple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when Emily went to go ask more questions, the Cosmo lady's gone. She said, bye, did my piece. Robbie's mind is going wild in his room. He knows he has to tell Emily it's him, not her, but he can't leave without saying bye to her. She doesn't deserve that. So he marches to her room. It's like 2 a.m. and he finds Laurent outside her door. She opens her door and Robbie is struck by how sexy she is. And next thing he knows, he's a tomato.
Oh, if I had a tomato dick right now, it would be rock hard. Does she really want us so badly that she's not even wasting time contemplating? Just jumping in her bed and getting down to business? God, this girl is perfect. He said, yes, right. rub my tomato body all over your clit. Ugh. Also, I was just thinking about, like, what if she got his juices, his tomato juices, on her vagina? That would hurt so bad.
Would it?
It's super acidic.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't it, like...
Like, if it got into, like, your little pee hole?
Oh, yeah, it'd probably hurt. Yeah. Throw off your pH for sure.
Yeah,
100%. It would throw off your pH.
So would the cucumbery seeds.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't just use them as toys. Instead, she has a heartfelt speech telling them both that she knows it's crazy, but she loves them.
Oh, yeah, that is.
He's like, so you're not gonna fuck me?
Okay. He's like, that's not what I'm here for.
Her confession hit Robbie like a ton of bricks, and he realized in that moment that he loves them both so much. If he wasn't a tomato, he would scream it from the rooftops. His whole body is intensely buzzing, then the next thing he knows, he's human again. He grabs Emily and kisses her hard and tells her that he loves her. Then he grabs Laurent and kisses him and telling him that he loves him too. He pulls away, and Emily's like, no, baby, don't stop. And then pulls out both of their dicks and then bobs her mouth between both of them, like lubing them up.
Nice.
And then jerks them off both at the same time. Robbie's no longer a shy priest. He's a wild man now.
You taste so fucking good. Last time I was a bystander. This time I want to be an equal participant in their delight. I rub her just the way I know she likes. Just like she rubbed me against her when I was a tomato. What a sentence.
And I put next to this one, you know what? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
They all come together, and it's beautiful, sweaty, and sticky. The next morning, Emily wakes up, happy and next to her men. She goes to the kitchen when she finds Gail. She apologizes for walking in on that, and Gail's like, meh, it's fine. True love rocks. Emily tells her that all three of them are leaving together, and Gail asks if she knows where they're headed. Emily says no, and Gail tells her that there's a vegetable farm for sale a few towns away. It's quiet and desolate, and Emily's like, oh, we def need some privacy.
Gail's like, get it, girl.
Yeah.
Get fucked by those men.
She's like, true love wins, baby. Let's go. It's 5 months later, and they're living at the vegetable farm that was a few towns over that they bought together. And they're just banging nonstop.
Our spurts synchronize, and I feel our liquids mixing together and overfilling out Emily. Is it weird that I want to drink it? All three of our juices mixed together like a delicious cum cocktail? Probably. But Emily did shove my entire body up her vagina when I was a cucumber. It's different, though. It's
different. Yeah. Yeah. Today's a really big day for them because they're opening up a tomato and cucumber farm, and they gotta start farming. The end.
Wow. Beautiful.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I'll give this one 3.5. It was a good one. I liked it. Funny.
Yeah. It was. Do you think Robert and or Laurent are sexy?
Yes. But only in their vegetable form.
Okay, that's fair.
Period, Pookie.
Would you trade places with Emily?
No.
No.
No, but it sounds fun. Just not for me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'd give it a dibble dabble once.
Yeah,
why not? Do it, Jenna. Do it.
Go to your fridge and do it right now.
No,
right now.
Maybe if I had the experience of them turning to human after to get a play-by-play.
Oh, okay. That's fair. All right. So next week, we're telling Riley all about Highest Bidder by Sarah Kate. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And what number is this? Is this book number 5 of the Salacious Players? We're cruising through them.
Do I know who this one's about?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, all the main people are done now. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was like, who the fuck else is there?
Okay.
So this is a new person.
He's been mentioned in the books, but yes.
He's been mentioned.
But he's not anything crazy. I don't know that we've ever mentioned him in our episodes.
Has the kink been mentioned?
Like 1,000 times.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
What do you think, Riley? I think a new guy's going to come in. Or I guess not new. He's been there. But he's going to come in. And maybe they're going to like do a little auction or whatever. Like a fundraising thing, whatever it is, for the Salacious Players Club. And he's gonna come in and maybe bid on one of the women we know already in the story. No, because you said it's not somebody we've done before. But I don't know. Part of me feels like maybe he's gonna cause a ruckus with some of the characters already in the book.
Did you see the cover with the person on it?
I saw the cover with Paris on it. Paris? The Eiffel Tower. Oh, here's the person. It's an old man. Oh, am I supposed to know who that is?
No.
You guys, this is hard. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll find out next week. I'm excited for that one.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.